appreciate God for Pentecost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. And one of the great things about Pentecost and about the Feast of Weeks is that it's about evangelism.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That ought to make a saint shout. And so tonight, that being said, we're going to hear from one of our latest evangelism moves. And we're going to ask Brother Sammy to come and give his testimony.
Amen.
Yeah, he got saved here recently on a Wednesday night. And he asked me before church, he said, would it be all right if I gave my home? What a better season to do it in. Amen. So he's going to come and give his testimony and share with us what God has done in his life. So, amen. Just come on, brother.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I can't really tell if y'all hear me. Okay. But I just found out that you're supposed to kind of have a little piece of scripture or a favorite scripture to go with your testimony, like while we was eating. So I'm going to share a scripture to go with my testimony right here. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Yeah.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
And Sunday night after church, the Lord came to me. And, I've tried to give my testimony a couple times since I got rededicated here that faithful night that I wandered in here. And, every time I tried to tell it, it was coming out too much like I was praising my bad deeds, you know, and so I stopped trying to give it. You know, the Lord put it on my heart and said, Sammy, it's not time. Just wait. Well, Sunday night after the service, the devil was coming at me hard, telling me that I'm coming in between saying y'all and God. And, I prayed hard. And hard and hard because, I was about to go find another church.
No.
And, don't worry. The Lord came to me and told me, well, Sammy, I called you there for a reason.
Amen.
There's a purpose that you are there. I don't know that purpose yet, but, you know, it's like they were saying the other day, if I was able to see the orchard that's inside of me, I would ruin it, you know. And I don't want to ruin what God's got planned inside of me.
Amen. You know? Amen, brother. That's true. Come on.
I really wrote all this down, I've already kind of messed it up. This is my testimony right here. It starts ever since I was a little child. I'm not sure the age, but had to be around 4 or 5 years old. And some things happened to me that should never happen to a kid. Okay, and this was the time when Satan took me. I'm not one to boast the powers of darkness, but a demon or a devil named Numbers resided in me ever since then. Okay, I was seeking an escape from my body because of the things that was happening to me. I didn't want to feel them.
Yeah.
And, I didn't know if it was God. I didn't know what it was. I heard the cry, but something came to the cry and took me from my body, so I didn't have to experience it. And I was not sure what it wanted in return, okay? As my life went on, I started to discover it was me. It wanted me. And it was probably led me down a life of perversion for about until the age of 11. Things kept happening to me, and I was, I didn't know that they were bad, okay? I did not know that they were bad until about the age of 11, and some things happened with another kid and me, and we about got caught, and I found out they was bad. So the devil in me stopped doing them. Didn't want to get caught. Didn't want to go to church or prayed over or anything like that. So instead, it started taking me down a path of thievery and greed and lust and hate. So much hate. Hate for myself. Not for other people, but for myself. And I didn't want to live. At the age of 11, didn't want to live. And it, it la- lasted for about 5 years. So up until the age of 16, and I got my first glimpse of God. You know, I was going to church for girls, of course, but I got my first glimpse of God at the age of 16 at this youth conference called CIY, and they're amazing. Like, I mean, the Spirit of God can be felt when you go to those things. It's like, but it didn't last long because throughout my life I felt abandoned and left. You know, I'm getting off on the wrong part, but Lord says, stay focused. I got saved and baptized at the age of 16. After having been with the devil for so long, though, it was only 2 months before the devil deceived me, and my youth minister left, the one that, you know, taught me into getting baptized. He left town, and, you know, I thought God took him from me. You know, I got angry at him, and I was like, why are you always taking things from me? Every time I get happy, you take something from me, and blame him for it. And it broke my spirit, and I became a rebellious child of God. I had so much anger and hate towards God, you know, that I still believed in him. I believed in the Creator and believed Jesus existed and died on the cross and stuff, but I was mad at him. You know, I didn't go around bashing Christians, persecuting Christians. I didn't go around trying to work for the devil and steal people from Christ, you know. But I was mad at him. I didn't want to spend no time with him. So I ran, and I hid in dark places. But I'm sorry, I lost my place. Okay. But one thing that did happen, though, at the age of 16, that was good, you know, that little time I spent with God, was the cleansing power of the living waters of God. It cleansed me of all theft. Like, I stole from the age of 11, was breaking and entering from 11 till 16, and got saved, and then no more. Never stole again. And praise the Lord, not from Walmart, not from a house, not from nobody. You know? couldn't do it, didn't want to, but, so I just continued a life of lust and thought, you know, and greed, and the devil added jealousy and envy, though. And at that time of my senior year, I finished school early, about 2 months, 3 months early, and waiting to get my diploma and walk, I spent a little bit of time at home. Maybe like in the 2 months, I spent maybe 3 weekends at home. But I came home one day, okay? This is where the devil got full grip of my life. I came home one day and found my little brother sleeping in my room. And he said that it was his now. And I said, what? And he said, it's my room. I said, well, the room might be yours, but the bed and the TV and the VCR and the radio, you know, all the possessions and their material things were mine. And he said, no, they're not. So I just got mad. So mad, and it was there that I vowed to become a drug dealer and throw my life away. And I spent 2 years just selling weed, trying to stay away from the harder drugs, because I was, you know, my flesh, it was scared of it for some reason. You know, like it was God's will for me. I know this sounds bad, but, you know, everything happens for a purpose. But it's like my flesh was scared that I was going to be fulfilling some prophecy if I started doing drugs, you know. And, weed is drug, but. So finally, one day I was, my dealer was offering meth to me for about 2 years, the whole 2 years that I had been selling weed. And finally, just one day out of the blue, I was like, it's like it's a sign from God. I'm supposed to try meth. And I know that sounds weird. I know it sounds weird, and I don't like saying it, but you know, God approved it, so. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. But I don't mean to apologize, but four years doing it as a social drug, you know, not selling it, just doing it with friends and my weed dealer, I became a dealer of it. And during the six-year span, right, Satan had me doing all kinds of things that were, there's some little kids in here, so some things that are, you know, not good, even, yeah, y'all get where I'm going, right? All right, would lead to me having insecurities in my relationship. And I was so worried about getting caught, it made me hate good people. You know, people that just wanted their communities clean, didn't want their kids on drugs, didn't want, you know, their, getting off on it again. And the fact that I knew that meth destroyed homes and families and communities, it led to the devil keeping me in condemnation, you know, telling me that I was worthless. And 2 years of selling it to my community, like 2 to 3 years of selling it, I lived rent-free in Skywood, $80 a month on my utilities they paid, $600 in food stamps. I ran a door service. Like, people could have knocked on my door, and that's as far as they got. They opened the door, they told me an amount, went inside, came back out, gave it to them. I always provided for my kids. Of course, you know, I had money for food because of food stamps, but they had a roof over their head, which, you know, all of that's God's glory right there, because, you know, like, I'm sorry, I'm getting off of the script here. He's telling me to shut up and read the book. All right. Sorry, y'all. All right. But during this time, all the immoralities that continued, I was sleep deprived. I mean, in the last 14 years, I've probably got a total amount of 2 years sleep in 14 years. Barely ate, and you know, like, I being so sleep deprived and hardly having any nutrients for your brain to operate on, you're not always functioning properly, you know, up there and everywhere. But like, I get angry whenever I would get woke up. Okay, if I just crashed the night before, my children's mother would get the blunt of the anger, because there would be people knocking at the door for $20, and you know, if I was awake and it was a close friend, I would understand it, but being asleep, even my close friends knew not to come knocking on the door, because waking me up for $20 it would lead to her to have an abusive episode. And you know, the devil kept building up condemnation in me, so I tried to run from it. I thought that the drug was the problem, and I moved to Telequa to try to get away from it, because I thought maybe it's just here. Well, you know, the devil was a deceiver. He's a good deceiver, you know, because I might have moved up there, but it didn't stop me from driving down here every weekend to get some.
Sure.
You know, and I lied to my ex and told her that I wasn't on it anymore. I was buying, but to add to that myth, I was buying pain pills too, so that way I had an excuse for staying awake. And but the devil kept the immoralities up in my life, right? So he had a grip on me still. And when my wife left me about 2.5 years ago, I lost myself completely. I mean, like, practically, I wasn't even here, y'all. You know, everywhere I walked, all I seen was darkness and fire and hate and distrust and I hated the sun. I hated life. And I gave in to him completely. And he made me do things that I never really want to admit to. And someday I will share them. I will share them someday. But for now, all he told me to share was this. And I wanted to die. Thought God forsake me. I lost the one thing I needed more than anything in the world. And my family of hope. You know, the mother, the dad, the kids, all in one household. And growing up with the only one parent, like, that's what was most important to me. And I didn't know that that's what was keeping me from finding God, you know. But when I walked into church that night, And over the last month, he showed me that out without losing my wife, I would have never loved him. I above all people or all things. And so I thank him every day for all my life. Or I thank him every day for all my life. All the bad, the good, the hurt, the pain, and the moments of joy he gave me. And this is why I worship him in the way that I worship him. Okay? And I come here to church to love on God and to listen to him. Every time I'm here, I close my eyes and I listen. The only way to truly, this is what God wanted me to make sure to say right here. Okay, the rest was my story, but this is him. The only way to truly worship is to forget about the surroundings and obey what God tells you to do. That is the only way to worship. Because whenever I come into those words, like, I love y'all, I love all y'all, you know, because that's what he tells us to do, is to love each other. But when we come here, what we come here for is to worship God.
Amen.
You know, I love getting to listen to sermons and learning this book right here, but you're supposed to learn it at home.
Yeah,
all right. Okay. You don't come to church to learn this word. You come to church to worship God.
Yeah.
That's all I got, guys.
In the middle of while worship is going on, he's laying out on the floor, all lost in the spirit, because he came here for the right purpose. We start coming here for the right purpose, we'll get lost. It won't bother us if the music's too loud. It won't bother us if they're singing our song or not. It won't bother us if the service goes too long, if the service is too short. The preacher's boring or whatever. Don't bother us when we come here with the right thoughts and the right motives in mind. This is why Jesus said, him that loveth much has been forgiven much. Amen. The disciples were griping because Mary was wasting such ointment at the feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, but her sins, which are many, have been forgiven her.
Yeah.
Why are you griping about it? You've never been through what she's been through. You never knew what she had going on in her life. You know, seven devils ever come out of you. But let me tell you, when there's enough devils, they got a name.
Yeah.
Hey, when God delivers you, fall out. Disturb the service. Get a little loud. Get a little crazy. Get a little annoying. Get a little glorified. Get a little blessed.
Hallelujah.
That's what we got to do, right? Amen. I'm not going to be but a minute. I want to share a scripture with you. If you'll turn with me to the book of Exodus, I believe it is chapter 19. And I'm going to, most of these scriptures I'm going to give you, and you're just going to write them down because we don't have time to read them all. But man, I want you to go back home and, like he said, study these out because you're going to find out some stuff. Amen. Because how many is excited about what God's doing?
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
And Sister Becca Shea, when she was here on Saturday night, shared with us a little bit about Shavuot and about the Feast of Pentecost or the Feast of Weeks.
Right.
And so I'm not going to repeat everything she said because she did a tremendous job of opening it up and putting it down on the level. But I want to read you the scripture where we get the Feast of Weeks from and where we get the celebration from. And where's my guy? There, have you got that first one? Exodus? Yeah, Exodus chapter 19. I want to read this. Let's read it together. Because it's exciting when you see the Word of God and when you know what it means. When you know what it says. So starting with the fourth verse, and this is when Israel was coming to Mount Sinai. And this is the place where the first Pentecost or first Feast of Weeks was celebrated when God gave the law.
Right.
It's exciting to know that there are many teachings about the law being given that are some of them I never heard until I began to study under rabbis in different places. And I have one rabbi friend that is in New York. And he sends me stuff, and I'll ask him questions, and he'll send me stuff. And two of the things I'm going to share tonight I got from him. So so I'm excited about them because I had no clue of this happened on Mount Sinai. Because our Bible doesn't tell a lot of things that happened on Mount Sinai, but they have the Jewish writings that's been passed down from histories and centuries. And so some of these things are passed down by them that actually happened on Mount Sinai. One of them being that when the voice of thunder spoke out of heaven, it was a voice and not thunder.
Yeah.
And they understood it. Because at that time, there were 70 different languages on the face of the earth during Mount Sinai. And when God spoke, he spoke in all 70.
Yep. Wow. Come on.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I don't know about y'all just got that. But some of you are going to get it tomorrow. But when God spoke out of heaven, he spoke in 70 different dialects.
Wow.
The same time.
Same time.
Go back to the day of Pentecost, and they said, does not our ears hear the praises and the worship of God in all in our native tongue? So on the first Pentecost, they had tongues. I don't think they've done away with them if they had them back then. I don't think they're going away anytime soon if they were all the way back then.
Yeah.
It might weird some people out. It might blame them out. It might get them crazy. But hey, if the Holy Ghost gets them weird and gets them crazy, hey, he did it on the day that it was happening at the first.
Woo!
Yeah. Come on, give God a shout of praise in this house.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. And how I bare you on eagle's wings.
Come on.
And brought you into myself.
Yes.
Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. This is God speaking. The next verse says, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. And a holy nation.
Oh.
These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord had commanded him. Now I want you to understand that there is a period of 3 days before God gave the law that is called, the Jews still celebrate it today, right before Pentecost. They celebrate it, and I'm not sure the name of it. I can't pronounce it. But it is, in our language, the Day of Boundaries. Where God sets boundaries around the mountain. You can come this close, but not any closer. You know why God told them you can't come any closer than what I bid you? Because if they come down here and they begin to gaze, that's what he said. They begin to stare. I'm going to come through on them and they ain't going to be ready for what I'm going to do. Because I can't help myself when people begin to stare at me.
Come on.
People begin to gaze upon me.
Yeah.
And people begin to take me in.
Yeah.
hey, I can't help myself. I'm coming out. I'm coming down. And I'm coming where they are. They ain't ready for me. They won't be able to handle what I'm about to do. But I'm going to come down on them. I'm going to come down on them. All right, let's just go. Verse 8. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Now listen to this. How many likes braggers? Then people, God said it, I'm going to do it. Then come on. How many said that?
Come on.
God said it, I believe it, I said it. How many heard that? God said it. It doesn't make any difference if I believe it or not. It's still said. And some people don't believe what God said.
Come on, brother. Come on.
But they hear these people standing up there saying, all God says, we're going to do it. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. The Lord goes up, back up to Moses, goes up, back up to the, it ain't if God will help me, I'm going to do what God said. I'm just going to do it. No big deal. He put it out here, let us have it. We're going to do it. How many knows, if they had known what we know now, they probably wouldn't have said it that way.
Yeah. Come on.
Because there's no way you can keep the law of God without Jesus.
Yeah.
He said, and the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. There he goes again. He's still quoting what the people are saying. They said they'd do it all. Just bring it on. Look at the next verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. There's 3 days. And be ready against the third day. There's that time of boundaries. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Now, if you understand, Mount Sinai is a mountain that is high. The Jews today still celebrate with 2 loaves. And the tops of the loaves has a ladder on them. The ladder stands for 130. The number 130 is the Hebrew numerical code of the name Sinai. So what Sinai means is you got to work to get there. And how many is glad?
Amen.
That Jesus did the work for you.
Yes.
And when no more do you have to work for everything.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Verse number 12. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mountain or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall surely be put to death. Anybody comes near it. So Moses is taking great precautions here to put a boundaries all around the mountain so nobody gets killed. How many knows it didn't do any good? Because when God's power fell on the mountain, the Bible says that 3,000 died before the Lord. The day the law was given. The meaning of the Feast of Weeks is Revelation. That's its theme, the whole theme. It's God is revealing to his people, as she said the other night, he's putting a contract together, a wedding contract, a marriage vow, and he is saying, here's what I expect from you, here's what you can expect from me, and here's what the bride will do together. And that is our word that he just talked about just a few minutes ago. That is the binding contract of the marriage vow that God has given to us. that was given on Mount Sinai and said, if you can, if you'll keep this, I'll do this. If you will obey me and love me, and you will love me with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, then I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sins. I'll heal your land. I'll do whatever you need. I'll be a God to you. I'll be around you. I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But you have a job to do, is what he said. Number 13. Says, and there shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. And when the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. So what he's saying is, when the trumpet sounds long, how many knows that when every time in the Old Testament, when there's a sound of a trumpet, it's talking about a shofar? And so what he's saying to us today is, God is going to blow his own trumpet. He's going to do his own trumpet blowing. He won't need anybody to blow it for him. God is going to announce that the mountain is open and that you can come all around and hear what God is about to say to you. But let me tell you something. There's something that the first law and all of its issues would not help us and would not bring us into Christ. It would not bring us to God because we still had sin and we still had ungodliness and we still had impurities. It didn't matter how much of the law you kept, you were still a long ways from the mountain. But Hebrews tells us we have come to a mountain that we were at a mountain we couldn't touch. We couldn't be around. We could only come close, but we couldn't go up it. But now we are in a mountain that we can go up on, and we can be in the center of it, and we can touch it, and we can be in it, because now we have entered into his spirit of rest. The Old Testament taught us that it was a law that got us rest. It was the keeping of the Sabbath day. Only way you can get rest. It was a day. But now, Jesus became our Sabbath.
That's right.
Huh?
Come on. Yeah. Come on, brother.
That's good.
That's good.
Jesus became our sacrifice.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus became our Passover lamb.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus is now our Pentecost.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. Yeah. He sent it to us. He gave it to us. And now we are free to run.
Yep. Yes, amen.
Free to live.
Yes.
Free to go.
Free to run.
Free to be in his presence.
Yes. Yes.
Free to lift our hands. Free to worship. Free, free, free.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
So now they had a mountain that they couldn't touch.
Right. Yes.
But now Jesus has came and says, hang on me.
Yes.
Feel. Do whatever you want. I am the sacrifice. I become the sacrifice. I have fulfilled it all. And now I'm back. I would send it to my Father. I've already laid it out before the throne room. I've already told the Father, hey, here's the sacrifice, Father. Hey, they can all come in here. How many knows? Here's another thing that the rabbi told me. He said, hey, and by the way, that heavenly language that you're talking about, he said that they had on the day of Pentecost.
Right.
And he's a messianic believer.
Yeah. Praise God.
But he said, it is also found in the book of Jasher, which is a Hebrew book.
Right.
Yeah.
And he said, it is also found that the high priest, when they went into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, when they went in there that one time a year, that they spoke in the Ruach HaKodesh, which is the Holy Spirit in Hebrew, and they spoke in the heavenly language all the time they were in the Holy
Hallelujah.
Hey, y'all think it's done away?
No.
Y'all think it's gone?
No.
Y'all think it don't happen anymore?
No.
I'm here to tell you that if it happened back in the Holy of Holies, where the high priest only appeared one time a year, why can't I have 366. I can have it all the time, every day. I can speak in that heavenly language because I've entered the spirit. all those many years ago, that when it came into his presence, there was 3,000 pooped out. Gone, done.
Yep.
Had to carry him out.
Yep. Carry him out.
But on the day of Pentecost in the New Testament,
come on, brother.
50 days after Passover, Pentecost means 50.
Thank you, Father.
This is why there's been some disturbance on why that the Holy Spirit fell 50 days. Jesus was here 40, and they couldn't hardly understand why they had to tarry 10 days. And some of the old time Pentecost still teach that you got to tarry and wait for the Holy Ghost. Well, they tarried one time, but now it's poured out. And you accept it just like you do salvation by faith. Amen. When you have faith, you receive it. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit because Yeshua, which is Jesus in Hebrew, HaMashiach, which is Christ in Hebrew, has come in the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, which is the Holy Spirit, and gave us His power upon us for us to become witnesses in Jerusalem. That's at home. In Judea, in the church.
Hallelujah.
In Samaria, that's your county. And even to the uttermost parts of the earth, and that's wherever God leads.
Yeah.
I tell you what God wants for us at Christian Worship Center is for us to get baptized with His Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He's already become the Pentecost. He's already become our strength, our might, our comfort, our everything. He's it. And so we already have Him as a Passover lamb, and we're waiting on the harvest. And this Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, is the first fruits of the harvest. Let me tell you what the church was in the book of Acts, is the first fruits. Let me tell you what Jesus was at Passover. He was the first fruits of our salvation. And then He, 50 days later, He gave a first fruits of the church. And anytime you have first fruits, it's a cloud. It's a place where there's more to come. Look at Leviticus chapter 23:15-21. Numbers chapter 28:26-31. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 9-12. You need these after church. Get with me and I'll give it to you, okay? I'm in a groove, so. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1 says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Do we need any commendation from anybody or each other?
No.
No. Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts,
known
and read unto all men and of all men.
Yes.
Hey, do you understand Jesus, your God said on the first one? This is another thing that was on there, that before the whole, how many millions of people, God stood on Mount Sinai. And the people watched the fire of God right in those stone tables, those Ten Commandments. Uh-oh. Today, on the day of Pentecost, there are people stood all over the place watching 120 as the fire of the Holy Ghost wrote His commandments on their hearts. Because Jesus said, God said, I'm not going to put them on stone anymore because it's just hard and messed up. But I'm going to put them from now on. I'm going to put them inside of you. Why you can't do what others do? Because you have a revelation in you. The fire has through it.
Thank you, Lord. That's good, brother.
Number three. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit, of the living God.
Yes.
Not in tables of stone,
no,
but in fleshly tables,
yes,
of the heart.
Hallelujah.
And such trust have we,
yes,
through Christ,
yes,
to Godward.
Yes.
Woo, when you got Christ in you, yeah, that's how come you look up. You don't look around. You look up when you got God in you. Yeah. Think God needs to do some writing tonight, don't
we? Yes. Oh,
come, he's ready for him to write.
Yeah.
I done got cold in my soul.
Yeah.
I done got messed up sometimes.
Yeah.
I need you to come back down,
yeah,
send the Holy Ghost to write in me. Right on me. Right around me. Right over me. Hallelujah.
Come on.
Number five.
Hallelujah.
Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Who also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. Woo, you got the law, you show me dead. Because that's what happened when it was given the first time.
Yeah.
Do you understand the Torah is teaching, not law?
Yeah.
That's what it means. In the Hebrew, I've heard all my life, it's the five books of Moses, it's a law. No, it's a teaching. Because what? Paul said that teaching of the law is what brought us to Christ. Because it told us we couldn't do it by ourselves.
Yeah.
When you've got the law, you think, hey, it's the law, I got to do it. This is what Paul said. I was so confused and messed up, I was saying, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? Because I keep messing up. Romans chapter 7. It's I, me. This whole book of Romans chapter, or the whole chapter, Romans chapter 7. Me, I, or something to do with the first person. It's listed about 70 times.
Come on.
In one chapter. How many likes to hear people talk about themselves?
Come on.
You get bored after about 3 hours.
And you stop listening.
Amen.
I know there's sanctified people in here that aren't going to admit.
Come on.
But it's okay. It's okay. Because Paul got fed up with it.
Yeah.
In Romans chapter 8. He starts off the chapter. He ends the chapter 7 by saying, who will deliver me from the body of this death? I keep dealing with me. And I think me is my problem. And I think I have to do something. And I think when I would do good, evil's present. And I can't do what I could do because evil's present. And I can't do what's good because I keep doing what's bad. Right? So that's what you do when you're self-absorbed. You keep doing the mess. But he said in Romans chapter 8 in verse number 1, for there is therefore now no condemnation to them in verse 7, and I'm done.
That's good, brother. Come on.
But it's the ministration of death. Y'all look at that. Y'all seeing that? If the ministration of death. How many like the ministry of death? Oh, I've heard a lot of different ministries. But I don't want that. Huh? Y'all got it?
Come on.
The ministry of death. That's what the law is. So all these churches that are preaching all law. No wonder that had the Holy Ghost moving up in there.
Yeah.
Woo!
No, no wonder.
Come on now.
No wonder they ain't getting nobody saved.
Yeah.
Nobody delivered.
Come on.
Nobody set free. I'm not talking about, I'm just talking about the ministry of death.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Well, we just minister in death. How can you get no life when you minister in death? Well, I'm going to get victory over this sin. I'm going to keep preaching about sin so I can get victory over it. That's not the way. Because we keep dealing death. And we keep ministering death.
Come on.
And how many knows what you minister is what you get?
Ooh, yes.
You can't minister death and hope to get life out of it.
Yeah.
So he said the ministration, but it's the ministration of death, written and engraven in songs. I just want to make a, this is why I don't have Ten Commandments hanging in my office or anywhere around my house. Oh, I know. I just lost half of you.
Come on, brother.
I'm sorry.
Come on.
That was the ministry of death.
Yes.
And I am under the ministry of grace.
Woo!
It's a law, and I believe in it. But let me tell you, I don't need to be reminded of it.
Amen.
Yeah.
I need to be reminded that he's greater than my sin, than my ungodliness, and than my corruption. I hope you don't fall out with me. If you did, I hope you get saved before you leave here.
Come on.
I'm not being mean.
No. Come on, brother, preach it.
Let me tell you something. If I need the ministration of death, I'll go get me one.
Yeah.
Right.
But he said written and engraven in stones was glorious. It was glorious. Fire came down
on the mountain.
On the mountain. But what did it do? Kill 3,000.
Yeah.
Ooh, let's shout because 3,000 died this evening. Maybe shout that they died to themselves. But not shout because they died left this world. So that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance. Which glory was to be done away with.
Yeah.
Mm. Come on, it ain't no preacher going to get you through.
No. That's good.
It don't matter how much anointing they preach under, how much power they got, they are not going to win you to God.
No.
I'm telling you, it's going to be done. But he said, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Come on, bring me the Spirit up in here.
Yeah.
He's going to write them Ten Commandments on your heart.
Yeah.
You won't need a plaque.
Come on.
I'm not again. If you got a plaque, in, please don't get me wrong. I'm not going to come over there and command you take that down. Because that's no way. But what I am telling you is I would a whole lot rather have them here than I had on my wall.
Because
I can look at the wall when I pass it. And I can just. But when it's written here, I can't pray over it.
Come on.
I can't shout over it.
Come on.
I can't rebuke it.
Come on.
I can't ignore it. Because every time I want to ignore it, he's saying, hey, do you love me?
Come on.
If you love me, boy, keep my commandments.
Yeah.
If you love me, do what I said.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a reminder. All you need is my Spirit up inside of you. Because the ministration of the Spirit is more glorious than the ministration of death.
Yeah.
So bring me the Holy Ghost inside the building. And he'll write on your hearts what he wants you to do.
Woo.
You don't have to have the preacher banging on your door. Did you do right today? Did you pray today? Did you read your Bible? Gonna do that to me. Preacher, did you pray today? Come on. Because if we got the ministration of death, that's all we can do. But if we got the ministration of the Spirit, the Spirit's going to come in there and say, you leaving without praying? You're going to work?
Yeah.
And you're not even going to wish me good morning?
Come on, bro.
Come on, that's what the Spirit does.
Yes.
Because the Spirit is alive.
Yes, it is.
I still serve the Jesus that wrote on the stone sidewalk.
Yes.
Come on, he didn't write the same. Take a look at where they brought her.
That's right.
They brought her into the courtyard of the temple. There's no stone there. That is stone.
That's right.
Jesus just went down there because his Father does it.
Yes.
And he's in the picture and in the image of his Father. And he does everything the Father does.
Yes.
So he just rode on the stone.
Right.
And that fire came up out of that stone. I hit them old boys in the chest.
Uh-huh.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
Conviction.
Yeah.
Ministration of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Not a death. And they drop stones like hot rocks.
Uh-huh.
Boom, 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 boom. I'm trying to sound like a young boy around there. Because they're dropping rocks. I wish the Holy Ghost show up at church sometimes and make people drop their rocks. For the ministration of the Spirit. Everybody say it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whoa, I thought I was going to get done, but I didn't.
Hallelujah.
I love studying these feasts because it's, wow, Jesus did in them. It escapes us sometimes. We just read over it and say, that's a bunch of baloney. You know, it's hard to read them chapters. It's hard to read that law and that Torah, and we miss so much of it. Because we're King James eyes in it.
That's good.
Huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to Americanize it.
Yeah.
Get in there and look it up in the American dictionary. Say, God, what does that mean? And you know what? The ministration of the Spirit will open up that old heart. And it'll start writing on it. So tonight, I want the revelation of the Holy Ghost to come in this house right now and begin to write on us. God, one more time, will you send the dove of the Holy Ghost into this house right now? Oh, God, go from the back to the front, from the left side to the right side, from the top to the bottom. Tear us up, God. Write us up. Write on our hearts. Write on every one of us what your ministration of the Spirit is. What your ministration of mercy is. God, don't kill us, but give us light. Life. Because you said you didn't come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. You said the enemy come to kill and to steal and destroy. And God, if it's everything to do with that, it's an enemy, it's not you.
Yes.
So God, we accept what you're doing and we reject what the enemy's doing.
Yes.
Right in this very building right now. God, we rebuke it, we rebuke it, we refuse it. Everything that the enemy is trying to do, all the craziness he's trying to mess up, all of the mess he's trying to start. God, we destroy that in the name of Jesus and we call in the ministry of the Holy Spirit to come. Oh God, that Ruach HaKodesh. Oh, the Spirit of Yeshua HaMashiach to come in this building right now. God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, begin to roar in this place. Roar in this place. Blow your trumpet. Get louder and louder and louder. And our wheels get more subtle and go down and humble ourselves in humility because your glory is present. Come on, worship him, church. Worship him right now. Hallelujah.
I praise you.
These altars are open. We're about to do communion up in this place. And I want you to just begin to pray right now. I want you to just begin to say, God, right now, I want you to, the Lord, just to write on me. Write in my heart. Take your finger. take your Holy Ghost fire and begin to write all over me, God. Oh, Lord, write your ministry. Write your word. Write your power. Write your demonstration this evening. Hallelujah. Write on me. Write on me. Write on me, God. Write on me, Lord. Hallelujah.
Write on me, Father. Oh, write on me, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. Ooh. Hallelujah. Ooh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I would ask the ministers who are going to distribute the elements, if you would do so at this time.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yep, I got it.
Start at a ramp right there.
Start at the back.
More than a memorial to remember the death of Christ, but rather it is a declaration of our total dependence upon Christ. Paul addressed the fact that many people were sick and falling asleep, and that was a biblical way of saying that they were dying, before their time, because they were not discerning his body. In other words, they were not observing communion. And because they were not observing communion, there were many who were sick. And there were many who were dying before their time. And scripture teaches us, and Charlie, I wrote this before your testimony. Scripture teaches us, by his stripes we were healed. And if we were, then we are.
Amen. Come on.
Woo.
Hallelujah.
Now, I am still trying to make this a reality in my life.
Yes.
I'm still trying to see a manifestation of this in my life. But by his stripes, your cancer dies.
Woo! Hallelujah!
Through communion, your cancer can die. Yes. And if you doubt this, talk to this man. By his stripes, your blood pressure normalizes.
Come on,
by his stripes, diabetes is cured.
Amen.
By his stripes, your arteries are cleared.
Yes.
By his stripes, your kidneys are restored.
Yes.
And by his stripes, your youth is renewed like the eagle. Now you may question by partaking of communion, can this bring healing to my flesh? Well, think about it. The whole fall of man happened as a result of eating.
Yep. Why couldn't
the... So why can't the reverse of the curse take place as we commune and partake of communion?
Yes.
By Jesus,
reverse.
By Jesus.
Come on now. Reverse it. That's good.
We speak of two elements. The bread.
The wine.
And the wine. The blood. The bread and the blood. The bread, you recall, I've shared. We talk about it being our daily provision.
Yeah.
Give us this day our daily bread. But we know Jesus to be the bread of life.
Yeah.
So our prayer is, Jesus, give me this day yourself.
Yeah.
Woo!
But remember, it was bread that fell from heaven.
Yeah.
So there is a miraculous power with bread. If you're looking for a miracle in your life tonight, as you partake of the bread, you can experience this miraculous
power. Yes.
Wow.
And then the blood. The blood will change your life.
Yes,
it
will.
Sammy? The Holy Spirit brought to mind as you testified words to a song. And I wanted to share that with you for your benefit. It says, I lost it all to find everything. Became a pauper to become a king.
Yeah.
The blood makes a difference in your life. We sing in our worship on Sunday mornings, I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup that's in your hand.
Yes.
Lay back against you and breathe and feel your heartbeat.
Yes. Come on now. Yeah. That's it. Feel his heartbeat.
Communion is not when we partake of the elements. Communion is what you do every day with Christ.
Yes.
The blood is still there.
Yes, it is.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Jesus Christ was the sacrificial Lamb.
Yes. Amen.
And yet I'm still trying to wrap my mind around the fact that the Lamb was also the Good Shepherd. But Paul encourages us before we partake of communion, we first judge ourselves, we examine ourselves. When it says judging yourself, it's not to put condemnation on yourself. No, it's simply to say, God, are we okay with each other?
Yes. Yep.
And so we're going to take a moment here in prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
Because some people are like, I'm not worthy to do this. Or here's a heavy remedy. None of us are. Except for the fact we are the righteousness of Christ.
Yes.
So let's take a moment in His presence. Paul tells the Corinthians, I received from the Lord that which I am telling you. That the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. As you do this, remember that my body was broken.
Yes.
That you might have healing you might have life.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you. Yeah, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord. Something the Holy Spirit shared with me this afternoon I had not seen before. In the same way, he took the cup
after
supper. Mm-hmm. I never saw that before. Mm-hmm. We always think, okay, one happened right after the other. No, he broke bread after blessing it, giving them the lesson on the body. But it was after he had fellowshipped with them, after he had supped with them, that he then says, that this is the cup. This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And so you have partaken of his healing power. And you have partaken of his forgiving power.
Yes,
thank you, Lord.
Father, I pray a blessing upon these, your people. I thank you, Father, that we can commune with you daily. I thank you, Father, that your word says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Father, we praise you for what you have done within each of our lives. We thank you for our blessings. We thank you for our healing. We thank you for our salvation. And oh God, we thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. And we give you praise and honor and glory in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.